From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect.
Our guest is Executive Director of The Tide, Don Shank. Don, thanks for taking the time to get some great information for the KLYT listener. We appreciate you joining us.
Well, thank you, Steve. I appreciate the time to talk about things that are dear to me and I think important for all of us who believe in Jesus and who live with the hope that we have in him.
Yeah, amen. The confident expectation, and I know I'm speaking to a brother. We're not talking about a whimsical, maybe hopefully, it's a confident expectation, hope. And the Tide, for those unfamiliar, Don, I've seen it described as an international Christian outreach that does worldwide evangelism and discipleship through Christian broadcasting in numerous languages, also leadership development, church planting, short-term mission trips. Am I missing anything?
You're covering it. It's an international. We are known primarily as a radio ministry because it started in 1946 as a local radio program. But as God expanded and grew, we no longer have an English radio program. Some people are surprised about that. But we now work with indigenous groups all around the world to help them create and utilize their own media ministry. And it's not a translation of anything here in the U.S. It's putting it out there, working with people on the ground. So they are preaching the gospel message, sharing the word of God in their own language with their own people. So it's a very culturally relevant presentation. But as you mentioned, there's all these other things that go along with that. That media broadcast, that introduction to the gospel that's like the tip of the iceberg because getting the word out there.
And many of our listening audience, they'll be familiar with what it takes with what you're doing to reach people audibly with the gospel as Faith Comes by Hearing is a local ministry here in Albuquerque, but it goes worldwide and works with all kinds of organizations, maybe even the Tide from time to time. But specifically today, although I'm sure the Tide in its radio and broadcast ministry reaches all kinds of beliefs, our focus today is looking at the increase in Christianity throughout the Muslim world. What good news that is. Tell us more about that, Don.
It is. It's incredible. The Muslim world is so broad and extensive. We tend to oftentimes think of just the Middle East, and we do have work going on there. But what we are seeing is an incredible hunger for, I guess it's truth, or for something solid. And, in some of these areas, of course, Christianity was established in the Middle East, in Jerusalem, and began to grow. And it was in some countries that we're having trouble getting into right now that where Christianity was established before Islam was even invented or instituted. And so it's kind of there's been a turning of the tide. And sorry, that comes out and I can't think of a different word to use. I'm not trying to play on words there, but there's a reversal of that taking place where we're seeing, as I said, people are searching. And I don't know if it's a dissatisfaction with Islam. Or I'd like to think it's the appeal of the truth of who God is. And I think, one of the things that I could share on that, some of the responses that we get from listeners that give us an indication of, okay, so what is it that is drawing you? And we have, let me just share a couple like one-liners out of Afghanistan. What we do when we work with these partners around the world, we do ask them to give us quarterly reports. And in those reports, we ask them to include some samples of testimonies. Of course, they have to translate that for us into English. But I think like this one here just gives, I think people are finding a deeper understanding of the nature of God. Because here's one, this one said, Jesus changed my perspective on God's character because I thought God wanted to punish us always, but now I know that he loves us. And there's so a difference to see a God who's demanding, who's maybe oppressive, who you think he always wants to punish you, and then to realize that he loves you.
And he's offering you life. Don, it is so different from other parts in the world, including, the United States and people who are raised here. But, you know, it strikes me that some of the fear that people have about an angry God, that's something that a testimony you'd hear right here in America from people who grew up maybe even in a Christian quote unquote household. I think the reason I grab onto that is in thinking of ministering to the Muslim community. And I think, for the most part, I mean, it's changing now in America, but growing up, it was something very unfamiliar to Americans. But, just to look at that fear and that, lack of understanding and lack of receiving anything substantial like the truth that you mentioned. I mean, at the very beginning, where people are going through life, they haven't had solid food. They haven't been satisfied because, you know, they're not eating anything substantial when it comes to spiritual intake. And when they finally get the truth that's found in the gospel of Jesus Christ, an understanding of the grace that's there compared to condemnation, and the mean, angry God that so many people have that assumption about.
Right. And you're absolutely right, Steve. There is that kind of attitude can and does exist even in North America. I think one of the differences is the church in North America does understand grace and tries to help people.
Yeah.
Whereas if people are entrenched in something like Islam and you think God is an angry God. Well, I read a heartbreaking news article this morning. I read that Afghanistan now is the Taliban is saying women cannot speak in public. So there's a different level of oppression. How do those women feel now? Okay. So this God that I'm supposed to be following says I'm allowed just to talk inside my house, but I'm not allowed to talk outside the house. So the restrictions, it's bigger than an angry, punishing God. But, you know, if I talk outside the house, I'm going to be punished.
It seems like the persecution we face here in America maybe is a lot more covert than what you would find in other places, whether it's the Middle East or Muslim communities, even in Europe or maybe even here in the United States, some places in the Midwest. But when, absolutely. Most of us have heard these stories of people in Muslim communities that hear the truth, receive the truth, and then really what a danger it is to them at that point to continue to practice Christianity. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, I tell you, Steve, it's challenging and inspiring to see the depth of faith that believers have when they come to know Jesus and the truth of God, and they experience that, you know, we use the term hope, but that confidence, it's more of a confidence.
Yeah.
And just an assurance. They've got something they are willing to die for. And, you know, we have, I hate to say it, but we have a lot of people here in the U.S. who will just be quiet about their faith because they don't want to be teased about it, or maybe they're going to be accused of hate speech or something simple like that. But we kind of like internalize our faith, whereas new believers, and as they get discipled in many of these Muslim predominant areas, they are on fire with faith, and they will risk their lives.
I'm drawn to when you mention America and the difference, when you see the persecution that's going on in Middle Eastern countries or in Muslim communities all over the globe, I'm drawn to. I'm going to age myself.
Okay.
for those who listened to Christian music in the 80s, I remember listening to a live album with DeGarmo and Key. And Dana Key, talking about persecution and saying how much the church grows historically under persecution. He says, look, I'm not praying for persecution, but I am praying for revival. And I have to think that has to be part of the reason for what we're seeing in the with the growth of Christianity throughout the Muslim world. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think that is there. And you're right that the church tends to grow most often where there is pressure or persecution on it. And I don't want to come across as belittling or chastening or critical of the North American church, because there is a very strong foundation of faith here in North America.
Absolutely.
And it's because of that we're able to exist, because we, some of these programs that the partners we're working with, they would not have the resources to produce that media program, to make disciples, to have literature to distribute. All of these things wouldn't happen without the strong support that we get from the North American church.
Yeah. Hey, Don, we're up against a break. I'm sorry to interrupt, but can you stay with us? And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about what the Tide is specifically doing, and how the church here in America, including the KLYT listeners, can find a way, to come alongside the work that's being done through the Tide. Can you stay with us?
Absolutely.
All right. We'll be back right after the break on ABQ Connect. Well, we're in the midst of a discussion with Don Schenk. Don is the executive director of the Tide Ministry. If you missed our first segment, the Tide is an international Christian outreach with worldwide evangelism and discipleship through Christian broadcasting in numerous languages. They also provide leadership development, church planning, and short-term mission trips. Don, now you mentioned the Tide starting back in 1946, I think you said. That predates you and I both.
Yes.
For those who
can't see me, I am not the founder.
but tell us what brought you to the Tide before we go into details about what the Tide is doing in persecuted nations.
Yeah, my wife and I had served as missionaries in Zimbabwe, Africa, from 1988 to 2000. And when we very clearly sensed God was calling us, telling us our time there was done, I really didn't want to leave, but that's a whole nother story. Came back to the U.S. looking for something to do and wasn't sure. God, in typical fashion, said, I'm done with you there, but he didn't really reveal right up front where he wanted me to be. But through a series of events, somebody who I had gone to boarding school with when I was just in my teen years. Again, I grew up in Africa, and that's another story to add to this. But he called me, and we were connecting and talking, and he said, well, have you heard of this, the Tide Ministry? He said, that's a way to continue to be engaged in missions. He said, their director is retiring. Maybe you'd want to look into that. And so I did, and I found out, definitely, here's a way that I could potentially have an impact on the lives of people around the globe, and submitted my resume, applied through the application process, and here I am 23 years later as the director of the Tide Ministry.
Well, we appreciate your commitment there, not only with the Tide, but the mission work you did prior to that. And we did tease, we were going to talk about the tide and sharing the gospel in these Christian persecuted nations. We mentioned the broadcast that happens really around the globe. But can you go into more specifics about how the gospel is delivered in these areas and what the ministry looks like up close?
Yeah, certainly. You know, as the ministry transitioned and God opened doors, it was in 2008 we finally put aside and stopped broadcasting anything in English and put all of our resources into indigenous programming. And it is primarily, was and still is, radio. We do some video, some online internet access. Basically, however people are consuming media, we want to have media content available, gospel media content available in their language.
Which by the way, you mentioned the web, and I want to make sure listeners have a chance to kind of follow along with some of this online as we listen. But go to thetide.org. As simple as that, thetide.org. That's the website for the ministry. Don Schenk, who we're visiting with, is the executive director. And my apologies, Don, I interrupted. Let's press on.
No problem. And our board has kind of set some strategic goals and some, I remember one time when they told me, you know, go and look for some, maybe low hanging fruit, some areas where the gospel is really needed and come back with some proposals. And I did. And the interesting thing is God kind of opened different doors. And as we've looked at it, we currently have ministry bases in 12 different countries, plus the Middle East. And of those 12, five of them are in countries that would be considered, along with the Middle East, would be considered predominantly Muslim areas. So without us strategically saying we want to go into those specific areas, God opened doors and made connections for us with people on the ground. And so I want to emphasize that we don't send in missionaries, although we do take short-term teams in where we can to do some training, to do resourcing and encouragement. But the actual ministry is being done by believers in those countries who have experienced a genuine conversion and know what it is, know who God is. And they are sharing that with their own people.
So the missionaries in these countries, essentially, they're homegrown.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And, yeah, what kind of difference does that make, Don?
Well, they don't have to go through acculturation. They don't have to learn the language. They don't stand out in their cultures except for their faith. And I want to emphasize that because they do live their faith. They don't run around saying, you know, here, put a target on me. In some of the countries, they do have to be very careful. And in some countries, they don't allow me, like they'll send me a photo of a discipleship gathering and they'll say, this is for you only. Please don't post this anywhere online. So they are careful, but they let their faith be known because they are trying to share that faith with others. So they're in some countries, there's a little bit more of an openness. And I just recently had a communication from one of our radio pastors in Kosovo, which is in has a high percentage of Muslims. And he said a group of guys, four guys, came up to him on the street as he was out there. And they started talking to him actually in Turkish because they assumed he was Muslim. And as he shared, he began to talk with them and shared that he's a believer. This I couldn't believe. They invited him to go to the mosque with them. And in that case, he went to the mosque. And he was able to share the truth about God in a mosque. Now, if you would try to do that in somewhere like, say, Afghanistan or some of these other countries, you'd probably be immediately lynched by people in the in the mosque, or at least beaten. But there's so it does vary from country to country how careful they have to be. But there is still an element. He was actually shocked that he was invited in himself.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I think we could learn from that. I mean, the Holy Spirit sometimes just, you know, well, not only, prepares us, but, God will open up those doors that we just can't imagine. And it's important that, we're tuned in to his voice. So we know here's an opportunity that, you know, I've prepared, the Lord may say, not necessarily in an audible voice, but just to be prepared, to share the truth. And even, you know, in our own, you know, we could just learn from what's happening globally in these, situations where you have, like I said, homegrown missionaries that are sharing the truth, and, you know, in our own, cause, you know, I work somewhat in a ministry bubble. I mean, I work on the campus of a church. Yeah. And most of my friends, and the listeners, they're going to their offices day to day. And it may not be as hostile as in a Muslim nation. Strategically, I think, you know, sometimes, people are just waiting for that opportunity. It's just important that we're tuned in, and the more, you know, probably the more that we're in his word and understanding what he wants, we better understand his will and are better prepared to see, those opportunities. And, with the time we have, Don, I do want to make sure that the listener again goes to thetide.org. That's the website to go to where you get a lot of the information that we're talking about, today. But Don, a couple of things. God is, when it comes to prayer, is a God of specificity. And if you could let us know how the KLYT listener can be praying for the ministry of the Tide. And then I would also encourage the listener to connect with the Tide at thetide.org. You can, correspond with them. You know, if, for no other reason, if after hearing this and seeing the ministry on the website, send your words of encouragement, to let Don and his team know, how important it is what they're doing, but also pray about your, generosity. And it is a generous audience we're listening to, Don. Let them know, what they can do to support the ministry.
Okay. In terms of prayer on a general scale, it's not just the Muslim world, but we have a lot of work in places like India, Nepal, Thailand, where Christians are persecuted for their faith. So pray protection over our, what we refer to as our boots in the ground. Yeah. These partners who are working there, pray for their protection. Pray for them to continue to stand bold and to be drawn deeper into the faith, and for God just to hold on to them, to protect their lives, and to use them in a powerful way to touch the lives of those around them. Pray, a specific prayer right now is we have a goal, and we're in the process of expanding from Albania and Kosovo up into the Balkan region and into five additional countries that were formerly part of Yugoslavia, where Islam is very strong, and we're trying to get broadcast licenses and get programming prepared to get on the air with the gospel. And some of these countries don't currently have any kind of a Christian broadcasting facility.
So yeah, most countries, you know, that's something I think a lot of Americans don't understand, even in Europe. Now there may have been a little bit of growth in Christian radio, but I know, you know, dating back a couple of decades when I started in Christian radio, it's just not the same, as it is in America. The opportunity isn't there. Just go find a Christian radio and start broadcasting.
And even in some of the countries that say they will allow a Christian station, when you try to go through the whole process of applying and trying to get that set up, There's resistance if there are, it depends who's in the office that you're applying for. If it's a strong, devout Muslim, you might run into more red tape than is necessary.
All right. Well, that's, and then of course there's an easy way to give financially on the website as well. When people give towards, the Tide, where are those put to use?
That is, basically you are helping and anybody who goes to the website, you can select whatever project or whatever country if you'd like to designate it for. What that does is it helps to support ministry workers in those countries. It helps to purchase airtime. It helps with the production of the programming. It helps with discipleship material like Bibles, literature. There's just a whole lot of things that need dollars. And so that support it's necessary, very much appreciated.
All right. Well, if you just tuned in, we've been visiting with Don Schenck, the executive director of The Tide, an international ministry broadcasting in places around the globe, creating leaders in local communities through leadership development, church planning, and then also short-term mission trips that Don mentioned. We won't go into more detail about that. You can connect, though, on the website at thetide.org. Don, 30 seconds, anything else, before we wrap it up? I hate to leave you and have you, with more information that you wanted to give.
Not really. I just want to encourage people to say, you know, live your life full out for Jesus because that's the ultimate and highest priority.
All right. Well, Don, thanks again for your time. We'll look forward to having you on again.
Well, thank you. I'd appreciate that.
All right. Thanks for listening to ABQ Connect.